On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In 2018, in the wake of the Parkland, Florida school shooting that killed 17 people, then-Governor Scott Walker signed a $100 million school safety plan in March of that year that included creating an Office of School Safety to administer grants and help schools with their safety plans.
Looking at making sure that no child, no student, no teacher, no parent should ever have to be afraid of being threatened.
Archive, courtesy of Wisconsin Eye, join in with questions for the Office of School Safety. 4 years later, 800-642-1234. Trish Kilpin is executive director of the Office of School Safety, which is under the Wisconsin Department of Justice. She's been in the role since January. Trish, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's take stock for a moment. 4 years after the Office of School Safety was created, are Wisconsin schools safer than before there was an office?
Well, that's a really good question. I believe that Wisconsin schools are better prepared. That $100 million grant that you mentioned, those incredible funds, not only provided grants to schools for school safety improvements, but we were really able to leverage the dissemination of those grants by helping schools to engage in best practice school safety activities, actions, and trainings when they receive those grants. So we were able to provide them with things like threat assessment training, youth mental health first aid, psychological first aid, many different opportunities to expand their understanding of what would keep a school safe. In addition, we had created a threat assessment tool and were able to teach that to grantees. We taught threat assessment strategies, techniques, and how to use the protocol to over 5,000 Wisconsin school or law enforcement partners.
So what I'm hearing is that these grants have really helped on a number of fronts concerning school safety.
Absolutely.
What are the state requirements for schools in regards to safety? Are there any types of requirements that schools must do?
So Act 143, besides creating our office, did stipulate that schools have to submit 5 documents annually. And the documents really shape what helps them to ensure that they're engaging in school safety work regularly. So when you look at what those are, the first thing is we would like them to submit to us and to local law enforcement partners maps and blueprints of their building. Mm-hmm. And interestingly and timely, the Wisconsin legislature just approved Act 109, which will provide an additional $2 million to really improve maps, to make them accessible in a digital format so that people can have a more efficient response when a crisis occurs.
Mobile-friendly type maps. Uh-huh.
Exactly. If you almost can picture like Battleship, where, you know, there would have be the map would have a grid. And in an example that I had seen when we were looking at this, it also could like pinpoint and ping exactly where an incident is occurring so that if the emergency responders are having to respond to a medical event, let's say outside the pool, they know exactly where that is, what entrance is closest. So maps is one of the requirements that school districts are submitting to us and to their law enforcement partners. We also ask schools to submit their school safety plans. And that's really their emergency operation plans to identify threats and hazards. These plans are best created in partnership with community law enforcement partners, emergency responders. They're customized for each building, not just a template in a model practice. Hmm. And they consider hazards and threats beyond the inside of a school building during the school day. So they may include things like what to do if something happens after school at a sporting event. Another requirement is that they submit documentation that they've had school safety assessments done. And those safety assessments, again, are best done in collaboration with law enforcement partners. And those safety assessments are really looking at whether or not a school is in compliance with what they need to do in terms of American Disability Act and considering the needs of the building, considering how would a vehicle access the building? How would it work if we lock this door? I mean, just really practical things, walking through and ensuring that that schools are ready. And then the final two requirements have to do with safety training and drills, that we want schools to be regularly practicing safety trainings. That that could include a variety of things, including drills, school safety drills. And then our we are asking that school boards or governing bodies of our schools review those drills and what happened during that drill before they're submitted, so that there's a clear understanding of what the work that's happening in our schools.
I'm going to just take a moment to reintroduce you as we talk about how to keep schools safe in Wisconsin with the State Office of School Safety under the Department of Justice, talking with Trish Kilpin, Executive Director appointed by the DOJ in January. You can join in with your questions about school safety and what happens here in Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. Trish, and this might fall under school safety assessments, but last week there were shifting reports on how the Uvalde gunman entered the school. And the initial reports talked about a teacher propping open a back door. The teacher's attorney then clarified that she had closed the door, assumed the door would lock when she did that, and the door did not. What are protocols around locked doors in Wisconsin schools?
We know that having locked exterior doors keeps people safe. We would like schools to keep those doors locked on the exterior. The safety assessment that I described actually would be walking through the building and checking those doors to make sure that they locked when you think they're going to, and making sure that all of our schools have that nothing has prevented that their best plan from being engaged. Like, there's something preventing that door from locking. Did some student put a piece of paper in there to make sure that it didn't lock, or whatever it might be?
So basically, your office has a recommendation that doors lock, but it is not part of any type of mandatory protocol.
Right. There's nothing legally requiring schools to do that, but we do provide best practice guidance, which would include locked doors.
Let's talk about the tip line. Your office launched the Speak Up, Speak Out confidential tip line in 2020. It's fielded thousands of tips, I think more than 3,600, vast majority not about planned school attacks, 51 tips there. And feel free to update my numbers. But what impact has the tip line had?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Feel free to update my numbers, because I think it's important for everyone to realize this is a continuous process. We receive tips daily. We run that 24/7 call center. And while the importance of the tips, like preventing planned school attacks, cannot be underappreciated, equally important are the tips that come in saying that someone needs help or assistance. We know that when violent acts occur, that they typically occur after after many signs of concern for an individual. And so the tips that come to us telling us that a student is thinking about suicide, that a student is struggling with depression, that they're experiencing child abuse, all of those are points where we can, you know, get people the information they need, meaning school, law enforcement, families, so that kids get the help they need and deserve, and we get kids off that pathway to violence. I think our anonymous reporting line, SUSO, which is Speak Up, Speak Out Wisconsin, and people can access it at speakup.widoj.gov, is an incredibly powerful tool. And it's also an anonymous site. You don't have to give your name as a tipster or a reporter unless you want to.
Who answers the tip line? Where does it filter through?
So we have a resource center, and it's staffed 24 hours a day by our very small team. And people are answering in real time. So as soon as a tip is submitted, someone, it could be on the phone. You could also call 1-800-SUSO1. And they're that phone is answered by someone that can help. Otherwise, our resource center analysts do an incredible job of dialoguing with the tip online, getting the tips to the appropriate people so that help can be obtained.
So you would say there are well over 3,600 so far since the line was created. Have you seen an upward number, or has it pretty much been stable as you look at the numbers?
They continue to increase. And, you know, when a school violent event happens, like what happened in Texas, we do see an increase in needs for schools, for community members. Maybe they've been concerned that an individual could pose violence, but they haven't reported that to anyone. And they change their mind and they see that it's important. So we've had an increase in tips recently. And we see every tip as an opportunity to respond and intervene.
Trish Kilpin with us leads the Office of School Safety. As we look at the work of this office housed within the State Justice Department, tasked with making sure schools are keeping up with safety as a priority, it runs, as we've been talking about, the Speak Up, Speak Out Resource Center. Join in on school safety, what you want this office to pay attention to, questions about the work, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with Trish Kilpin here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're getting briefed on the Office of School Safety that is housed in the State Department of Justice, created in 2018, focused on multiple things, as we've been learning: threat reporting, critical incident response, threat assessments, general school safety guidance. Join in. Maybe your child has discussed school violence drills, how they've been carried out. Your questions on how tips are investigated, 800-642-1234. Trish Kilpin is Executive Director of the Office of School Safety, former school social worker with over 30 years in the Greendale School District, and she's with us for about eight more minutes. Let's bring on a caller now. Rich is with us from Rhinelander. Chai, go ahead.
Hi. As usual, you and your guest and Wisconsin Public Radio are excellent. That is not a vain comment on my part. However, I think we've got this backwards. I'm sitting here thinking about Uvalde, and I'm thinking every classroom probably should be equipped with an underground shelter as a tornado shelter, where the children who are being assaulted in their places of study can seek refuge. I am a very old man, though. I attended K-12 in Oneida County for 12 years of education. At no time was I asked to hide under my desk or to learn to seek a place of safety from a gunman during all those years. I think your guest is excellent. I think you are excellent. I think we've got this backwards.
Rich, thank you for the call. You know, Trish, what comes up for you as you hear Rich say that it is a totally different world now?
I think it's intensely painful for all of us to think about children suffering, to know that the reality is that they have to be prepared for events. The thing that comes to mind, I guess, for me, are actually two things. One is that we need to make sure that our drills and practices for these types of events do no harm to kids, that we like to promote an approach that we call no drama, no trauma, so that kids are practicing in a way that doesn't include sensorial things that, like sounds of violence, those type of things. But we also need to ensure that we're engaging in school safety work that's very comprehensive. We know that not one intervention is going to be sufficient. So we need to make sure that we're promoting both physical and psychological safety, that we're simultaneously working on prevention, protection, which is what Rich is talking about, mitigation, and then our recovery and our response. And so it's a powerful and an enormous responsibility. We have to do our very best to make sure that we're engaging in prevention work so that these events never occur.
You talk about balancing between preparing for a crisis like this and not traumatizing students. What are best practices then for schools as they consider, you know, when putting on a drill like this and when finding a violence drill program that really works?
Well, schools have many choices that they can make. And I believe that schools take careful consideration in order to select things that are right for their building and their school. But there's a couple things to remember. One is that a basic part of almost all school safety drills would include the lockdown. And what a lockdown is for those who might not know, is we're talking about locking the door to secure the space, moving students out of sight, and requiring students to remain quiet. Essential to this is we also are teaching kids that they just always have to follow the adult's directions, that if the teacher does something, it's to keep you safe. Now, we know that practicing and increasing that automaticity so people know what to do in an event is critically important. We also know that people can learn what they need to learn about how to anticipate keeping themselves safe from things that aren't actual what people think of as drills of coming in and locking a door and those types of things. Tabletop activities, discussions, what we call for little kids when-then drills. If this happened, what would we do then? If that happened, what would we do then? So we know that there are many ways to increase safety with practicing these drills. They need to start at that lower level where you're starting to orient people to what the drills are, that you're practicing with tabletops, that you're actually discussing things, making that part of the conversation, and always calling them safety drills, not calling them scarier names. And this is what is done to keep you safe. There's also options-based drills, which people then in those types of drills choose the best course of action. That's important too. So that if you, let's say there's a unwelcome dog in the building and we don't know if that dog is safe. And we know that classrooms right around that dog's location might have to make a different decision than a classroom that's far away from from the location. So we have to make decisions based on our surroundings, what we know, the information we have, and how to keep ourselves safe.
Trish Kilpin, Executive Director of the Office of School Safety here in Wisconsin. Trish, I want to touch on what's happening in the U.S. Senate because it could absolutely have implications on what happens at our state capitol. And key senators said Sunday, you know, on the Sunday news shows, there is growing momentum to toughen federal gun laws. And the bipartisan negotiator, Senator Chris Murphy, said that this package may include some school safety money. What are you watching for from the federal government in terms of boosting school safety?
I am watching to ensure that the conversations continue to occur and that the funds materialize so that we can continue this work. I'll also add that here in Wisconsin, we are so incredibly happy with that $100 million grants to schools that created our office. But most of our projects that we're running now are critically important and they're funded by grants. The Act 143 created the office and one position that was mine. So we're hopeful that we're able to partner with our state legislators to provide some permanency of funding. Because as you can well imagine, the demand for our services continues to increase. And it's important that we have the adequate resources to meet that increased demand long term and develop a strategic plan that we can actualize.
So I understand that the money is running out, that there's only about $6 million left of the funding. Is that right?
There's actually less than that. So there's less than $2 million that we're still actualizing in terms of creating a program for. Some of those other monies are designated and allocated for projects like critical incident grant stabilization, things of that nature. We have a couple more projects we'd like to get to. We have a very small team, and we'd like to be able to have that stable, predictable funding so that we can make plans to get these final projects done.
Trish, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for caring about keeping our Wisconsin kids safe.
Trish Kilpin is Executive Director of the Office of School Safety. It is under the Wisconsin Department of Justice. The Speak Up, Speak Out confidential tip line, that number is 800-697-8761. That's 800-MY-SUSO1. We have a link at WPR.org/mornings. Ahead on the State Capitol Report, we hear from a Whitefish Bay representative, Deb Andraka, elected in 2020, about what's changed, what hasn't in the debate surrounding firearms. News update is next. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.